All right. Thanks everyone for coming. This year again, we've done a lot of awesome projects in our mentoring programs, and some of the students want to show you what they worked on. And the first one will be Frank, who worked with Kevin in one of his programs.
So hi everybody, thanks to be here. So I'm gonna speak about Tomahawk. I'm not having so much time, so I'm gonna get quickly about what is it, but I'm gonna focus a bit more about our personal contribution. I speak for the whole team, so even if I say I don't mind it so much. Okay, so first, what is Tomahawk? So Tomahawk, again, I'm going quickly here. It's an open source, smart, and multi-source music player. The concept is like, you ask for a song and is consuming so many web services about music like Grooveshark, Jamendo, or even Econest to get some data. He gets you the song and is really also really social because you can get linked with your friends through Twitter account and Google Talk and Jabber. So it's something really interactive and that brings you a lot of musical content. Okay. If it may pass, okay. So here you just have a quick look. So it just to give you an idea about what it looks like because I don't have so much time for that. So you have like the left menu with a lot of new content, your personal collection, and here is empty, but there is a list of friends. You're gonna see it later on another screen. And a little detail over there, you have like some last tracks played. So I am explaining that because I make a contribution over there. Okay, so here I'm gonna focus a bit more about the job we've made. So the feature mainly was the resolver of Google Drive and Dropbox. Okay, resolver is basically a plugin made in JavaScript, which allowed now Tomahawk to consume the music inside the cloud of Google Drive and Dropbox. So it's quite nice because now a user can retrieve the music from this cloud, and even if it's not really made for that from the beginning, it's still quite nice for the user experience. It's been done following the security OAuth procedure, which means you have to register your application about the API of Google to get a token, like it gives you the right to listen for the data, and some synchronization to know if the data has changed or no, and this kind of problem and issues. The other nice feature we put was the transcoding. So here it's not really visual, but it's still interesting. In Tomahawk, a friend of you can stream some music in order for you to listen it. So when it was a lossless format like FLAC, which is really heavy, you couldn't do that because basically the streaming was not working well. So you needed to transcode it, and that's what we've done. So it's also improving the user experience. And the last feature we had was a social dashboard with the session of concept. So the social dashboard was the thing you've seen before, right before. And you remember on the right part, there was like the last track played. So basically, if you have a friend of yours that has listened like one album, let's say, of the Blues Brothers, you're gonna have the 12 tracks of the Blues Brothers played of this album, which is not really useful because you could put the whole album. And the thing is, we add a new concept, like the session concept. So we assume that if a friend of you is like listening music for an amount of time, like let's say I'm listening music for 2 hours, and the next day I'm listening some other music, we assume that there is a different mood inside those 2 moments. Like, the concept of the session is to catch the mood you are when you're listening the music. And you can parameterize, for sure, the amount of time between 2 sessions to make it more relevant for your friends, but that's basically the idea. We're gonna see here some screen. Okay, so you're gonna have to trust me on that. I don't have time for making a demo, but anyway. So I was speaking about the list of friends here, so it's what you can see here. So there is like some IP because it's the local network and some friend coming from Gmail. And you can see here is the Dropbox collection. So when you parameterize your Dropbox account, you can definitely see all the song inside your Dropbox account and read them from Tomahawk, which is pretty cool. And now the social dashboard. Yes, there is no visual stuff for the transcoding. So the social dashboard was about what I was speaking to you to the right side of the menu. So here, instead of having song by song what your friend have listened, you can see, for example, that Legalize Me at the fourth position, I've listened to the Blues Brother. So the Blues Brother is here like the most dominant artist inside the session concept. So, but it could be all something else. We could decide the title of the session being like the most dominant kind of music. We choose the artist, but it can be changed or improved, or even put several artists, like the most dominant artists. So here you have like what your friends have listened, what you have listened, because you can see things coming from your own collection. So, okay, that was all for the social dashboard. So, you know, before concluding, I would just would like to say that that was like my first big contribution to any open project. It was a really, really good social experience because the guys on IRC, I don't know if some people here knows a bit about Tomahawk, but there are some really nice guys and really available and helpful people. And it also improves some skill because it's always nice to take that credit, but at the end, you get better approach about ongoing project and something complex already going on when you arrive. So it's still nice to improve your skill while you're having fun with some friends. So thanks for your attention. And just listen to the look at the thanks for the team, the tutor, and the support guys. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And the next one is Anand.
So sorry, I have no slides today. So I'm working on sending SMS messages with telepathy and modem manager Qt. So modem manager is basically, modem manager Qt are basically Qt bindings for modem manager. So anytime you will connect a USB modem or something like that, that library is used. So the latest version of modem manager has some really cool SMS features. You can access contacts, etc. So the first part of my project will be to upgrade the bindings, the Qt bindings, to include these new features. And then the next part I'm going to write, we're going to write a connection manager in telepathy, which will allow you to send SMS messages. So what's cool is this will be, I guess, just the second Qt-based connection manager. All other managers, I guess, are written in glib. So this is going to be a great experiment, I guess. And after that, you'll be able to send SMS messages from telepathy, like you send all your Gmail and Facebook messages. And once the K people thing is done, which is there's a talk after lunch on that, you'll be able to, like, you have contacts, they have associated phone numbers, you can send messages to a phone number. And another thing which might be possible, I'm not sure about this, is you might be able to use this same thing in Plasma Active as well to send messages, so see how that goes. That's all, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next one is Shiva. Yes.
Yeah, phones, a very limited set of phones are currently supported. So you should be able to read the contact stored in your SIM card on your USB modem or on your tablet if it supports. The code for that is not currently complete in modem manager itself, so he told me it's going to be done soon, so hasn't given me a time frame, but we're going to try to include that too.
All right, sorry, we don't have much time for more questions. Shivam, anywhere? Please come up. Okay, should we have you first, maybe? Yes.
Good morning.
Give me. No. What? Is there a change thing? Brilliant. All right.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm working for project in keyboard layout. My project is improvements in keyboard layout preview. Actually, my work is to generate the keyboard layout of the selected language. So currently, the preview is static. It doesn't have any flexibility. I mean, position of keys remain same. Either you have a Mac or you have a ThinkPad. So my work is to add the geometry feature to it. It means that if you select a particular geometry, like you have selected an Apple and ASCII keyboard. So it will be like that. You will be having keys exactly like they are displayed on the displayed on your Mac. Or if you have ThinkPad, then you will be having a exact same layout as there is on the Mac as it is there on your ThinkPad. Sorry. Next slide. So there are three improvements to be made. First, write grammar for the symbols and geometry files. These files are basically files which contains the configuration of all the information we needed for generating the layouts. And then we need to create a parser. This parser will be passing these files in and will be storing all the gathered information in form of objects. And then we have to render these objects which contains information about the layouts into a preview. Next slide. So we have two options. Either we use XKB libraries, or we can make our own parser. There is some difficulty that I was facing using XKB libraries because they were very complex. For a simple process, like for generating a preview, you don't need a lot of information like duads and indicators and all that, because they will be of no use. Like in a preview, you cannot see a light turning off or on. So I found them a bit complex, so I thought to write my own parser. So for that, I have proposed that the geometry object which I would be creating would be divided in simple hierarchy. So above all, there is a geometry object. A geometry has a lot of sections. A section has rows, and rows have keys. Basically, I have to display all the keys on the screen. So this is the makes the project very simple for me as well, and also for other developers who wants to use this feature of passing the geometry files and using it for themselves. Now, the advantages of making new parser is that it provides flexibility for on my view. Like if I use XKB libs, then there is a fixed background, and you have double-edged keys and all that. But if I'm using my own parser, I can render it in my own way. Like in this, I have, instead of a filled background, I have lines all over the background and different color keys. So it provides flexibility and a more graphical preview to the layout. So for making parser, I have Boost libraries to for my SQ. Boost Spirit basically is a LALR parser. It doesn't require any external build or something like you have in VIAC or there is ANTLR. So it's kind of very easy to use them. You just need to include the header files in your program, which are provided by Boost libraries, and you can directly use them. So it makes my work very simple, and I recommend. These are very nice libraries. So then for the rendering purpose, I have the ultimate QPainter class. I mean, it has amazing functionality. I don't have words how to thank QPainter. It makes my work so easy that I have to draw lines. I write just two for loops. And the previews you just saw back then was generated only using two for loops. So it was pretty amazing working with the QPainter. Plus, I can also change the graphical attributes like transparency, color filling, text font, etc. So that's pretty much of it what I'm doing.
Thank you very much. And Ia, please.
So hello, no presentation today, sorry. So my name is Ilya, I am from Ukraine, Kyiv, and actually I'm a participant and a grand prize winner of Google Code in 2012. During this contest, I was working mostly in Marble and other Kiri projects, and did some incredible, as I can hope, incredible stuff. So mostly in Marble, we were working on a new user interface features and refactoring the code which is currently in code base. It was interesting and challenging. So I think that GCI is a great opportunity to improve your programming and architecture design skills. Before GCI, I thought that my Qt skills are pretty good. But I was wrong. I was completely wrong. After GCI, I had a progress more than in 300%. So on the current stage, I think that I can find most of information. I need documentation and references without the real help of people. So before GCI, it was like I have some friends, developers, and I have a problem. I share it with them, and they gave me a solution. And then I learned it inside. But now, after GCI and all these tasks I did and interaction with mentors, I can find a lot of information myself, with from references and documentation, and it's cool to feel. Then GCI is very cool. I said it before. Yeah. And people at KDE are extremely. I can't express it. KDE is so cool. Its environment and atmosphere here, I love it. Thank you, Jesse. I thank you, KDE.
Thank you. All right. The next one is Sven.
Working on collaborative text editing I'm Sven. I'm working on collaborative text editing for Google Summer of Code this year. I've been working on Kdev Python before Python support in Kdevelop. Maybe somebody knows that. Yeah. What's it about? What we want is we want multiple users to be able to edit text documents in any Ktext editor-based application. So multiple users should be able to type text into a document, and other users should see it immediately, like what you have seen in the previous presentation, but with plain text files. What for? Okay, what are your use cases? For example, imagine you want to share some quick notes, you want to take some notes about a trip you're planning or something. You just want to take some quick notes with somebody, that would be a use case. Or another use case is you want to review some text somebody wrote. For example, you're writing an email to your professor and you want somebody else to read it, to proofread it, or something like that. You could share the text with them and they could type things in there and you could see it. Or another thing we have in mind is really programming stuff. So you have a problem with some source code and you don't want to do it git commit because it sucks and you want to share it. And you also don't want to share patch files over paste.kde.org because it just sucks. So since we are doing it as in Ktext editor, it will also work in, for example, Kdevelop. Why are we doing this now? Well, because we have near optimal technologies for doing it. We have this library, which is called Infinity, libinfinity. It defines a protocol and it implements the protocol for collaborative text editing. So we don't need to do anything there. It's all there. We just need to use the library. We also have Ktext editor, which is KDE's text editor. I'm sure everybody knows it. It's a perfect editor. We don't need to do anything there. And then we have telepathy and telepathy KD, or KD telepathy, which is an instant messaging library, but also has some functionality for allowing to create connections to arbitrary contacts with which can transfer arbitrary data. And we can use that for establishing connections, so it's really easy to actually establish a connection. And we just need to plug those together, and we get a text editing plugin which allows collaborative editing in KTextEditor. So this is an example screenshot. It's just Kate, and you can see it has gained an extra menu point when the plugin is loaded, which is collaborative, and you can, for example, click share with contact there. You can just open the document, click share, and select a context, and click OK, and then you can edit it with that contact. And here it has some coloring, and because it's a KTextEditor plugin, it will work in any application which uses KTextEditor, for example, Kate, Kyle, Kwrite, Kdevelop. One problem you have when you adjust a plugin to KTextEditor is you can do document management, but you want, for example, a tool view which displays all files which are shared with somebody. So what I'm doing is I'm implementing a KIO slave for that. And this is an example screenshot of the KIO slave. You can just point it to some collaborative server, which is, this will also work with contacts, but it's not implemented yet. And then you can just, you see the files you have shared with them, you can create them there, you can open them by just clicking them, and then Kate will start and you can edit the document. This is an example of how you can share a document with a contact. You just click, you just open the document in Kate or Kdevelop, and you click collaborative, and you click share with contact, and then this KD telepathy dialog will open up, and you can just select a contact, and then they will get a notification, do you want to accept this document? Or currently it's unknown service, but it will be, do you want to edit this document? And you can click accept, the data contact can accept, click accept, and then some preferred application will open to edit the document. So where are we? It's working. It has some rough edges, but there's 2 months left in Google Summer of Code, so I guess it's going to be fine till the end. It's a pure plugin to KTextEditor, so it does not need any branches anywhere, so there's no problem with getting it merged or so. It's a separate application. Some work is needed on making the text buffer work correctly. For example, currently we don't have proper undo redo, which is a bit complicated. But the operational transform part is done because it's not done by me. It was done before I started already. There's some stabilization work to do. We now want some tighter integration with KD telepathy, so you can share documents from the contact list by dragging them onto contact lists or whatever. And eventually we want to do it the other way around to integrate a chat into KD or what. But that's future stuff. Thank you for your attention. And this is proof that it works in Kdevelop.
Very cool. Thank you. The next one is Albert.
Hello. Excuse my hangoverish voice. Okay, my project, what I'm doing is this. Can you go to the next slide? I was told that nowadays we would have not only flying cars and robots and all this cool stuff, but also that if I place my phone on my table, I would be able to share my pictures easily and all kinds of interaction that we don't have. The reality is that we still use email to send files, and that's not cool. So what we try to do is something similar to web accounts. I don't know if you know it, but basically you add your devices to your computer. Your computer knows them. So when the phone is on the same Wi-Fi network as your computer, for example, it starts syncing what you choose to sync, for example. Pictures, but we could go farther away. And have all kind of features like showing notifications if I receive a message, for example, show it on the desktop, and maybe I decide this is a silly thing and I will not check the phone, or well, all kind of stuff that that you should develop as plugins for this system, because the point is that everything will be a plugin. There will be several backends that the system will use automatically. So your plugin will receive, hey, there's an incoming call, and you can do whatever you want to do with that, show a notification or whatever, and you don't have to worry about if the phone is connected by USB or by Wi-Fi or over the internet. And well, this is what I'm doing. I don't know if I will have time to implement all the features I want, but I'm still open to new ideas. So if you want to contribute or something, patches are welcome, as always. And well, I will definitely need plugins for the system, because it's the magic behind it. I think this is all. Yeah, this is all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the last one is Zayan Tan.
Hello everyone, and I'm a contributor in DigiCam. So this year I've been working on something called local adjustment tool. Like all of us click pictures here and there, and when we edit them in a DigiCam or any other tool, in like DigiCam is KDE's photo management software. So when we do it, we have options like editing the whole image as a whole. So like changing saturation or changing the hue, changing white balance or any such thing as a whole. So what we need to do is something on a regional scale. Suppose I want to brighten up the face of someone and just sitting in a corner of an image, or just to darken up a tree in the background, so something like that. So we started moving on with this project and had an idea of it about a few months back and made about it. So next slide. Okay, that's huge. Okay. For now, like if I try to make a selection in an image and want to edit it altogether, so we make it in GIMP or Photoshop or do something like make a perfect selection around it with a pen tool or a lasso tool, and then make the edits in it, make it brighter or make it anything to the selection, and we save it again. So using this always creates some bit of an error, and because it takes a bit of a time to make the selection very accurately along the face, around the line of the object. So having such much of patience for everyone is really a matter of question, because people want to make the edits in their image quite quickly, and we take a lot of time in editing them. So this tool came along. And yeah, one more thing, this tool already exists as a different name in the Nikon software. I just want to implement it in DigiCam altogether as free and open source, so I made it. Next. Yes. Okay, this part is actually showing how the image selection is being made. Like, our goal was to select a part of the image very quickly and in very less time. Like, a point and a circle was all that was needed to make the user to make selections on the image. So, as we see a bit of a parrot bird over here. So, the first image is just the basic selection made by any tool, any circle tool on the image. After that, using like basic controlling the alpha values, I have made the borders of it a bit more gradient, a bit more diffused. And in the next part, the third image over there, that's like I've compared the central pixel, from the center pixel of the parrot, which is red over here, and compared with the other values of the whole image and the selection. So over here, we only have the red color of the selection. So if you were to change the saturation or make any changes to that part, the changes will be reflected on the third image over here. That's the red part. So if we make the saturation brighter or higher, you will get more reds on that part. So this is how the whole thing was. On the next slide. So yeah, keeping in all those matters in hand that the tool must be very user-friendly, we make just about making it right now. A basic tool for selecting, for clicking and dragging in circles over here in the image editor in DigiCam. And we can create more than one of these circles, like make as many as we want to and change them, change the overall opacity of each of these edits, and have all the controls like hue, saturation, brightness, and all the other color pigments and exposure of that part. Next. Just skip one slide. Yes. So that's about it. Like after this whole color selection is done and the changes are reflected back on the image can have a like easier updated look. That's all. Next. Yeah. As of now, like just 2 months left to go. I have completed the Qt project, a simple Qt project that does every of these things. And after that, I'll be incorporating every of this project into DigiCam so that the whole tool will be there. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's all for this session. Pretty cool project. Thanks for working on them. You rock. I think they all together deserve another applause.